Saints, as you likely know, I have placed your take-home in the bulletin. So, when you go home, read your take-home. And when we get to heaven, I will be checking with you. This Sunday is the Sunday of rejoicing. And the liturgy gives us this Sunday to rejoice because Lent and Advent has a penitential character to them. And so the church, you know, gives us one Sunday during Lent and gives us another Sunday during Advent so we can have a little break from the usual thing of the penitential character in it. So they have Latin words, you know, Laudate Sunday and Gaudate Sunday. But I won't test you on your knowledge of Latin. I don't know too much of it myself. But this is Rejoicing Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
So if you permit me, look at your right, the person at your right hand, and say to the person, rejoice with a smile. Right hand, please. And to the person at your left, and smile at the person and say, rejoice.
Rejoice.
Amen?
Amen.
Good. Now, I'd like to tell you something that St. Francis of Assisi was used to doing. Now, when St. Francis of Assisi got converted to Jesus, like most Christians, St. Francis of Assisi had his share of hunger, his share of cold, disease, poverty, and disappointments. Like most Christians today and of all ages, he had a share of that. But one thing St. Francis of Assisi did not lack was joy. He had a lot of joy. St. Francis of Assisi. And so that's how he lived his life. And St. Francis of Assisi, as he went on in his conversion journey in Jesus, had more joy, and more joy. And so, when people began to follow him, St. Francis of Assisi could not understand his disciples who were sad and gloomy. So if he found out any of his disciples who were sad and gloomy, St. Francis would go to him or her and say, you need to go to confession. Because he thought that anyone who knew Christ and was making progress in their relationship with Christ, there would be no sin in their lives to cause them sadness and being gloomy. So he thought any one of his disciples who became gloomy, he thought there was sin in their lives. And so he would say, well, you need to go to confession because you are so sad and so gloomy. It seems you have mortal sin in your soul. That's what St. Francis of Assisi would advise his disciples. And as you see in today's reading of rejoicing from Zephaniah 3, for example, rejoice. And the Bible says, Zephaniah 3, 14 to 18, the Bible says that your Lord will come and he will sing for you as in a festival. In some of the translations, it says your Lord will dance for you. In the French translation that I read before Mass, I think it says that word, that your Lord will dance for you. You know, that's what it is in some of the... But what we get is that your Lord will come and he will rejoice for you. He will sing for you. Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And Paul was writing from jail this letter. Rejoice. He would say to the Philippians. And then we hear the gospel acclamation that our choir helped us to sing so well. Luke chapter 4. The Lord is bringing glad tidings to the poor, to those who need the good news. Glad tidings. I think if St. Francis was alive today and he came to our church today, or he visited us in our homes, he would say to us, rejoice, because the Lord is coming. Church, can everyone say rejoice?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Somebody sang, I have a joy of salvation, a joy of salvation, a joy of salvation. I have a joy of salvation, a joy of salvation, joy every day. This joy we have is because of the Lord, nothing else. And if sin is in our lives, it spoils the joy. That's why John the Baptist's preaching was essential. People had to repent. You and I have to repent daily of our sins and begin to do good. So tax collectors, multitudes came to him and all the other people in Luke chapter 3. Said, repent and do good. You and I have the opportunity to repent and love Jesus more and love our neighbor more. And then there will be joy in our soul. Amen, church?
Amen.
That's what we need. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I'd like to show you with a small illustration, what prayer and fasting and almsgiving, like the bishop talked about the other time. But prayer and fasting and almsgiving are good, or works of charity. Very good. Well, what does it do to the soul? God pours grace on our soul when you and I pray. God pours grace in our soul. But like the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, the sacraments are the primary means by which we get grace. That's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. Now, when we pray, when we give alms, and when we fast, how much grace does God pour into our soul? Some grace, sure grace. But I would liken the grace God pours into our soul when we pray, when we fast, when we do works of mercy or almsgiving like this. Some grace would fall, drops of grace. God will pour drops of grace into our soul when we pray, when we fast, or when we give alms, works of mercy. Now, when we go to the sacraments, God pours a torrent of grace like Niagara Falls. God pours in abundance grace into our souls. That's why, if you want to do a little bit of Bible study for yourself, you could look at Ezekiel 47, 1 to 10, and you can look at John 19, verse 34. Again, the effects of grace on our soul. And you know, when the soldier was there and Jesus was dying, the soldier used a lance and he pierced on the side of Jesus. John 19:34. What does the Bible tell us? Blood and water flowed out. The blood and water that flowed out from the side of Jesus is the fountain of sacramental grace. God pours an abundance of grace into our hearts and our souls. That's why you and I, who are Catholics and who believe in the Lord, should approach the sacraments more often. And we shouldn't let our souls to starve or to dry up without the sacraments. And that also affects the sacrament of penance or reconciliation or confession. That's why when I meet Catholics who don't go to confession often, I pity them. You know, for 1 year, for 6 months, they never go and take the bath that comes from the sacraments. Their souls stink. And they need to go. We all need to go without exception, because this is where grace falls into our souls in abundance. Ezekiel 30:47, and it is John 19, verse what? Verse 34. I wouldn't give you a quiz on that one, but if you read it, you will understand what I'm talking about a lot more. Amen?
Amen.
So go read it. And share it with your Protestant friends or your Catholic friends. It would do good to them. So, Brother Jesus, you came to give us abundant life. We beseech thee to open our hearts to the word you have spoken to us at Mass today. And when we enter into your death and resurrection at this altar of sacrifice and receive you in Holy Communion, fill us with that joy that this world cannot give. Make us messengers of the joy of salvation that you bring to the world. Amen. And those of you who are asleep, you can wake up now. I have ended.